because I don't really know much about the situation. How old was you when you first thought you wanted to get a boob job?
Well, I was about 13.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. That was me at my leavers ball.
Are you?
Yeah.
You look so different.
At school, Ellie was bullied for being a size 14.
That's when I came really, like, self-conscious about other girls and how thin they were.
So she began losing huge amounts of weight and her boob shrunk from a D cup to an A cup.
Because you see those pictures that I'm not naturally that small a build, but I've kind of made myself that over the past couple of years.
What was your ideal in your head of
I
what sort of...
I always wanted to be a size 8, always.
Right.
And so I...
Size 8 with what size breasts?
Oh, I wish they'd have stayed with these.
You would have liked to have been a size 8.
Oh, God,
eight with...
yeah.
Right.
But that's, like, perfect figure, isn't it, I suppose it is.
Do you think my boobs look small?
Big.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm a B, and I've got a £4 Primark bra on.
I'm really surprised. I thought you would be about a double D.
Is there anybody out there that you sort of look at and you think, God, she's got my ideal sort of perfect,
yeah,
you know, figure?
Cheryl Tweedy. I think she's absolutely gorgeous. Because she seems to be thin, but she's got really big boobs, and I just don't see how that works in, like, the normal world. Because the moment you diet, they seem to go. And you've got, like, Misha Barton. These are all people who aren't that much older than you, but somehow they seem to look amazing and everything. You know, you can't see the flaws in us and everything. They just come across and they're everything like perfect. Their makeup perfect.
We all have this image in our head of how we think we should look. You know, we think we should wear that. We think we should have that.
If the man
can't
do nothing about it, but
we should have
can.
That size breast. And in a way, it is only the media that's telling us that.
For me, it's completely like
life. You don't want to talk to me?
It gives me a chance to be more popular.
No, I mean about Bernard.
Oh.
Well, then,
Thomas
said.
You still want to play, huh?
He was going to be officially transferred to one of the substations. On Bernard. As soon as he got back from
up.
But what are you doing?
Give me a name! A name!
But it's
I want a name!
If I don't have to be an officer, so.
Thomas, the bank,
where are you going?
Let me tell you
all. Yikes out the plaza!
Bernard, are you done with your telecall?
Should have said all that at first.
Bernard!
So let's take a look at what engineers are up against as they try to stem the flow of oil. When the drilling rig was
Bernard,
operating,
you don't want to go there. They say it's awful.
From the wellhead on the ocean's floor, 1,500 meters below. But when the rig sank, it dragged the riser with it.
Just because I got permission to come here.
Across the seabed.
He's afraid of how people look on my farm, on my computer farm.
Now pouring out up to 5,000 barrels of oil every day.
What do I do?
Just take a few extra grams of Soma. It'll be all right. Was and will make me ill. I take a gram and only am.
No.
A second option is to construct a large...
He probably thinks I'll run right back. And of course it won't be on my computer file.
Well, here you are.
Surface. Another option is to drill one or more...
I'm the chief warden, Stelina Shell. I suppose you stayed over at the Rocket Port Lux Hotel. Climatization, that's the thing. I see they haven't outfitted you yet. Well, we'll take care of that and then I'll show you about.
No, thank you. I want to go straight there.
Savage Reservation? But you should be outfitted first. Ultrasonic microbomb pop popper, extra rations of Soma and Amphetapeth.
Thank you. I don't need anything. If we could just go straight to the reservation, please.
Well, then of course I won't be able to give you a guided tour of our station, but... whatever you wish. This way.
Oh.
cuneiform.
Let me see that tablet.
What does it say?
It has a reference to a water god.
Maybe that sea creature back there.
This refers to a period of time. Looks like 1,000-year increments.
1,000-year periods. It's the second millennium. The end of the world.
I think our giant is a druid.
But they were wiped out 2,000 years ago.
At least he thinks he is. That's just as bad. They were definitely into sacrificing humans to their gods.
You mean this guy's god is a sea monster? About the way he dressed you. I just figured the giant was a little kinky.
He may be more than just a little kinky.
What are you saying?
She's saying that you might be his vestal virgin.
What kind of virgin?
No doubt about sacrifice.
I think this means that the gods will allow mankind another 1,000 years
to
return to the four offerings.
Who's the fourth?
Well, that creature out there may have already had his first.
Did
she count as a Bethel virgin?
Did you scare the hell out of me?
I just can't do it anymore.
Oh my God, look. That one paid off for us.
I can only support you if you are willing to.
Come on, try, Tiffany! Oh, I don't think that will do the trick.
Damn, one more point on the Richter scale, we'd all be out of here.
Guys, I don't think that's gonna work. Doesn't that druid have any tools around here? Damn, look down that passageway. You guys keep working.
Melissa, be careful.
Come on,
Paul. In short, it's turned you into someone you're not. Your eating disorder has affected my life negatively in the following ways. It's robbed me of any chance of a relationship with you. It's made
you're my brother, Cameron.
A failure as a father.
My kid brother.
And it's made me the odd man out in my own home. I can only support your life if you're willing to help yourself today.
Sit down. I want to show you something.
Kimmy, we want you to be happy. We found a special place for you.
This was a test camp. It was in 1947 to market a new product.
Only deals
the product was a drug with a tranquilizer called ephemeral. It was aimed at pregnant women. If it had worked, it would have been marketed all over North America. But the campaign failed, and the drug failed, because it had a side effect on the unborn children. And a physical side effect.
Absolutely. I can't just give you my answer right now.
It created scandals. Yes.
Kim, we love you.
The man who invented a fentanyl was very excited by this weird mutation it caused. So was Consent. They offered to finance this experiment. So he sold his company and himself. And that man was Dr. Ruth. That was Dad. Now I said that the side effects of ephemeral were invisible. But that's not completely true. Daddy could see them. He could see them in us. If they could do he had given the prototype of ephemeral to his pregnant to wife, our mother, 4 years before it hit the market. And then again a year later,
in this room would take over.
His children turned out to be difficult. Until he realized the only thing that would calm him down is his drug, ephemeral. That's why we're older than all the others. Not only older, more powerful. The rest of them, they're nothing compared to us. Then what did you need Keller for? Contact had hardware. It had contacts. Keller could see the future. The future? You murdered the future.
Everyone in this room is giving you is a new
That's negative, Cam. Defeatist. Disappoints me to hear you talk that way. You're starting to sound like them. There's a whole generation of scanner soldiers just a few months away from being born. We'll find them, train them to be like us. Not like Obers and their band of cripples. Bring the world of normals to their knees. Rule an empire so brilliant, so glorious, will be the envy of the whole planet.
You sound just like him. Like Ruth.
No, not like him. Like Rack! Daryl Rack!
No. Like him. It's as though he's been reincarnated in you.
You're not listening to me. You're not cooperating, Cam. You're not cooperating with me at all. I've been counting on you for years, Cameron. Tell me you're not going to betray me like all the rest. Tell me you're not. No! All right. We're going to do it the scanner way. I'm going to suck your brain dry. Everything you are is going to become me. You're going to be with me, Cameron, no matter what. After all, brothers should be close, don't you think?
Details, as well as language-based queries, as input. Beginning that ramp. And increasingly, our computational systems will be able to predict things, to optimize things, to communicate things much more effectively than us humans ever can. But so here's a critical point. We can have all this amazing computation, effectively all this amazing intelligence. But the question is, what is it supposed to do? What is its purpose? You know, you look at all these systems in the computational universe and you see them doing all this amazing stuff they're doing. But what is their purpose? Well, sometimes we can look at a system and say, what that system does is more economically explained by saying it achieves a certain purpose than just that it operates according to a certain mechanism. But ultimately, our description of purposes is a very human thing, very tied into the thread of history that runs through our civilization. I mean, when the thread of history is broken, it's very hard, even something like Stonehenge, to know what its purpose and action is supposed to be. You know, when we look at the future, it's pretty obvious that more and more of our world can be automated at an informational level, at a physical level. One of my net future projects, for example, that I don't think we're quite ready for yet, is to really turn robotics into a software problem. I sort of imagine some bizarre collection of tiny identical objects kind of moving around in some sort of style, operating just like cells in a cellular automaton. A kind of universal mechanical object that figures itself in whatever way it needs. And I'm guessing that this could be done at a molecular level too. I've managed to get some pretty definite ideas from the layer to that. But I don't think that the ambient technology exists yet. There's still a lot of practical infrastructure to be built. Well, when so much can be automated, even, as I mentioned before, sort of creative things, it'll be interesting how economics change. Some things will still be scarce, but so much will be effectively and cheap. And then, of course, there's us humans as biological entities. One question I can ask is, how the kind of worldview that I have affects how I think about that? I mean, people like me have this data about their genomes, for example, but how does one sort of build the whole organism? What kind of architectural principles? Should we imagine these kind of like flowcharts or simple systems of chemical equations where one thing affects another and you sort of chase the diagram down? I suspect that in many cases it's more complicated. It's more likely to see the world of the computational universe. Lots of cellular automata are so biological and limited. We can now know that we now know lots of detailed examples, but we can map systems like cellular automata onto biological systems like macroscopic scale. And what we realize is that many aspects of biological systems are operating like simple programs, often with very complex behavior.
And that means all those phenomena like computational irreducibility come in. You know, will some tumor-like process in a biological system grow forever or not? That might be like the halting problem for a Turing machine. It might be formally undecidable, and to know what will happen for any finite time, we just have to simulate each step. You know, if one starts thinking about, can start thinking about all sorts of basic questions in medicine, here's an analogy. Think of a human being as being a bit like a big computer system. System runs just fine for a while, but gradually it builds up more and more cruft. Buffers get full, whatever. And no doubt the system has bugs too, and sometimes those get in the way. Well, eventually the system gets so messed up that it just crashes, it dies. And that's rather like what seems to happen with us humans. And of course, with a computer system, one could just reboot and start again from the same underlying code, very much like the next generation for humans can start again from more or less the same genome. You know, for humans, we have all this medical diagnosis stuff, all these diagnosis codes for particular diseases and so on. We can imagine doing that for computer systems too. You know, diseases of the display subsystem, diseases of memory management, trauma to the I.O. system, so on. I think it'd be instructive to really work this through, actually. What I know one will find is that the idea of very specific diseases is not really right. There are all these different shades, things that can't really even just be described by parameters. They have to be really described by algorithms. Well, when we run all the servers for Wolfram Alpha, for example, we have in the standards of the computer industry very beautiful Mathematica-powered dashboards showing us kind of the overall health of the different pieces of the system, and it all worked beautifully yesterday as the Sirius system turned on and so on. But these things are very coarse, and I think it'll be interesting to see how much more detail we can represent well. I mean, there's a lot of computational irreducibility lurking around. The very phenomenon of bugs is a consequence of computational irreducibility.
Caught up in the whirlwind of fire and pain and passion. But where does the killer lurk still? Unsuspected, unsure, and how disguised? Recall the clue. For there are no more.
It's out to take you, remember that, Mark. And they wait for opportunities like this. Some people got no character. What you need is a friend to go along with you and check.
She's got to have a fine funeral.
Sure, and you can have it. But you got to know how to go about it. How much insurance your mother leave?
None.
None?
I couldn't keep up the payments.
Fine things are expensive. You gotta pay for them. Nobody's giving anything away.
I'll pay. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how long it takes to pay for it.
Nobody lends you money. A kid like you driving a truck, delivering flowers, making 30 bucks a week. You're a bad risk. Money, money, that's all that counts in this rat race. If you got it, they'll bury you like a queen. If you ain't, they'll pack her in a box and shove her in the hole in the ground. I feel for you, Martin. What your mother went through in this rotten world, she ought to go out in style like a somebody. The world owes it to her. It's a rich world, but it hates to give. You gotta take. Somewhere out there, someone owes you something. All you gotta do is have the nerve to come.
Tobacco. I haven't smoked in 70 years.
Very well. Those things which this man has taken, removed from the soil where they have rested for thousands of years.
Oh, lady, whatever are you talking about?
They are sacred things. They have their own powers. That is what is happening to us.
Oh, come on, I'm not gonna listen to this.
Paul, do you know what she's talking about?
The Droata, Mrs. Pinder.
Of course.
Believe it or not, here we are on the last half of the 20th century under these circumstances. And what are we worrying about? The grotesque practices of a primitive cult that was stamped out before the coming of Christ.
Not entirely, Mr. Copley. There are still druids.
Yes, of course there are.
Not again.
And there are still witches, Satanists, and those who believe that Jimson weed can make them immortal. Oh, yeah. There's never been any shortage of idiot things to believe in, or idiots to take them out.
Stop it! What have druids got to do with what's going on here? Everyone on that heath knows the legend. They've faded for hundreds of years. Inside the altar at Grove Abbey was a druid sacrificial stone. That stone is on this plane.
Hey, lady. He's trying to tell me that a piece of rock's got something to do with killing the flight engineer?
The abbey was built on the sacred grove of the druids. A place where they committed human sacrifices to the ancient gods of darkness, cold, wind. The old ones, they call them.
Where have you been?
And every 100 years, at the summer solstice, they
I've
kill.
Just been here, reading by the fire,
summer
like
sea.
I said earlier. What have you been reading that you couldn't find me?
You said that was tonight.
A book of dead people. I'm in.
For all I know,
and
it's
you
Halloween.
Are too.
How do you know all this
See
stuff,
for yourself?
Anyway? Well, if it's any of your business, I'd like to look at ruins. Preferably religious ruins.
Why don't you just knock it off? Confession is supposed to be good for the soul, isn't it?
But you are.
Paul is a priest!
Look what? Into the fire.
Very definitely was. They have enough trouble
you
about sticking with me.
Okay. Okay, so he struck out as a priest. So what? What's that got
it's
to do with us?
Dead people.
With all this crazy business.
See for yourself.
Maybe he's talking about demons and spirits and stuff on
I
this
know.
Airplane. Well,
I'd
like to get
too.
Some answers and right quick.
Perhaps you are too eager for answers. Sometimes there are none. The only magic I know is that man can resist gravity and fly at 37,000 feet.
I hope that makes you happy. It hasn't me.
What would?
I'm going to open a bottle of it right now.
It might not make me happy.
But it will amuse me to think of all of you back here worrying about your lives as though they were of some importance.
He doesn't matter. We have to find out what it
is.
Whatever it is, get back there. Get everybody else far away from it.
Chicken grill. There he goes. Boy, let me tell you something, the smell of this food. I just want to take a bite out of it already. One of the worst things on the whole menu, the filet of fish. Look at that thing. It still looks terrible.
Going right in there.
Next, quarter pounder. That actually looks like meat. Quarter pounder. Some fantastic fries. Where's the dumpling? In that last jar, we're going to get a hamburger from out the street. From a place where they actually make real hamburgers. Where they take patties, and they press them with their own hands, and put them on the grill. You know, it's like real meat. And lastly, French fries from a regular restaurant. See what happens at the same time.
2 weeks, French fries from a regular restaurant. 2 weeks, French fries from a McDonald's restaurant. 2 weeks, sweaty, moldy burger in there. That burger's all moldy. Flavish just starting to mold. That's some kind of cheeseburger and the Big Mac. Still, nothing. Big Mac hasn't even started to mold yet. Big Mac? Still? Looks like we just bought that thing. Lettuce, a little moldy. Chicken McGrill? Definitely seen some better days. That thing is beat up. Filet of fish? Look at that white fuzz on top of it. The quarter pounder. That thing's got a rainforest going on inside there. This burger, same thing. Look, it's starting to get juicy on the bottom. The bun is just like coagulating into some kind of goo. Here's the regular French fries. Those things are black and crazy. Want to see what the McDonald's French fries look like? Check this out. That's right. Some kind of fluke of nature. That's right. This can't explain. But this is what you're eating every time you get these fries. Ooh, that's the Big Mac. That looks good, doesn't it? This chicken McGrill looks fantastic. Oh, and it's so yummy. Look at the filet of fish. That's very impressive. Quarter pounder really coming to the end of the road. Are you ready for the French fries? You ready? That's right. Look at that, folks. Why are these not breaking down? That's a really good question. And you have to ask yourself, wow, what's that doing in my stomach then? Big Mac, 8 weeks. Chicken McGrill. I don't even know what that runny liquid goo is right there. Now we move on to the delicious filet of fish. What do we got? 8 weeks. Mossy goodness. Look at that fuzzy little sandwich. Here's the quarter pound of cheese and the sweat box. It's down in there. Look at that. Looks like the ice age is set in on the quarter pounder with cheese. McDonald's French fries. It's now been 2 months, and look what's happening here. That's right. Still nothing. Ten weeks on the Big Mac. Frosty goodness. Look at the chicken McGrill. 10 weeks. All the filet of fish. Oh, did it get any better than that? I don't even know what that fuzz on the top is. Week number 10, quarter pounder. Some kind of crazy little like science experiment happening there. Look at that. What is wrong with that? There's not even one little spore saw on there. Not nothing breaking down. Nothing. Looks like we bought it yesterday.
Yes, sir. We are into Barack Obama's hometown, as you can see, home of pork. I'm just looking from where I am right now, up the road, and all I see is just people marching. Great to see, folks. We are not alone. We are not alone, folks, and today proves that.
Tax, fans. Supreme Press presidents wants more of your money. Keep that money coming in, buddy. Pay more taxes. Your blood, sweat, and tears, we ain't got enough of it yet. Destroy the rich, and that'll make the year. Everybody in the country equal. War. Tax, man.
I'll tell you what, folks, you know what's really great? It's the young people we're seeing showing up. at this tea party here, at this protest, actually, against, this is not just against Obama, this is against the United States government, our Congress, that is trying to force policies on the American people that the American people do not want. There's another sign there. Mr. Wilson speaks for me. Just think about it, folks. You had Barack Obama say that they are not going to cover illegal aliens under his health care plan. Every day, thousands of illegal immigrants go to hospitals, to emergency rooms to be treated. Is he saying they are going to be turned away and not be treated? No, that's not what's going to happen. Of course they will be treated. You can't have someone show up to an emergency room and not be treated. Not at all. And what does he plan on doing right down the future, immediate future, after he would get this health care plan passed? He wants to make the illegals guest workers. So then, of course, his words would be true then. We have hundreds of thousands of people wanting to come to America legally. And they can't come over, and they're trying to do it legally. What he wants to do is, he wants to give amnesty to those that are here illegally. The sea of people just keep coming, folks. Just keeps coming. This does my heart good. This is awesome. This is just awesome. We're all here having a great time here down in front of the Capitol building. And people aren't just coming in from this side.
I don't see her now.
Now, I know CNN was covering the attack yesterday on a boat that never happened. We'll see just how much coverage they give us here down in Washington, D.C. Oh, you didn't hear about it? CNN had an attack going. Good story going for about a half hour. It was maneuvers. It was practice. They were, the military, the Coast Guard was doing a practice that they do every day. And CNN all of a sudden was covering it. Yeah, like it was something really happening. The only ones that covered it. Yeah. That's right. Yes, that's right. You too. This is awesome, folks. Look at this. Look at the crowds coming, the signs. I want you at home that couldn't show up to the rally down here in Washington to just see how many people there are. Like I said, young, middle-aged, old, conservatives, moderates, some liberals, Democrats, Republicans, independents. Sea of people just coming and coming and coming and coming. I remember when I was at Glenn Beck's Rally for America down Huntington, West Virginia. 30,000 people, and the news media never covered it. But they would cover the 12 protesters that would be protesting President George W. Bush. But the same rules do not apply to Barack Obama. Barack Obama has not kept one of his promises that he campaigned on. And he is trying to force his socialist agenda on we the people.
I don't know what you're making.
You have to give Congressman Wilson a great big hand. I'm going to be putting a link.
Gotta get around.
There is.
I think you're in. might as well try.
Web page and phone number. You call him up and you thank him for speaking up. He was right. Obama was there trying to say that we're all liars. Well, Mr. Wilson let him know who the liar was. That's one Barack Obama. And they keep coming.
Saving them until your appetite returns.
Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you stop me? Before I killed Marie. He forced his way into me. Now I can't get rid of him.
There's no flesh left. There's hardly any blood.
You have to help me get rid of him.
It's almost like a surgical operation.
He controls me. He orders me to do horrible things. Like killing Marie. My doctor.
Okay, relax. Calm down.
Great. The cartilage is decaying.
I have to take you somewhere.
No.
They'll fall off one by one.
Don't worry. The place where they'll help.
I don't think I can stand it.
Where is it, Edna?
What?
Sharon, you'll have to take them off.
It will help us.
Okay.
Imaginary friends, and that worries us. I realize it's normal for his age.
Hello, dear.
Darling, this is Sandra O'Reilly.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Benjamin.
How do you do? My wife tells me you have experience with problem children, Miss O'Reilly.
No, it isn't that much of a problem.
I am working towards my psychology degree, so I can work on a one-to-one basis with exceptional children.
You'll find an exceptional, all right. Not that I don't love my son, Miss O'Reilly, I do. But I've never been able to understand an otherwise normal boy who lives entirely in his own head. We're part of his world, but way out. On the periphery somewhere.
I see.
And had an incident here with some old lady. Seeing him
the demon sleeps. He's dreaming.
Back with nothing on.
You've lost all your strength.
Except some super.
I can talk beyond my painting.
Playing Tarzan.
The children at school seem to have picked this up and labeled him a
nutcase. face it on me.
No, it isn't that bad.
Young lady, I will wait you halfway, for you will not be able to understand. Come to the painting. Touch my hand, and I will tell you what to do.
Preparing for a fairly long term.
First, take your brother from here. You'll have to hurry before the demon wakes from his troubled sleep.
Where, you'd be able to feed your family. And most farm country is fairly well removed from major urban areas, so you'd be removed from any, you know, rioting and looting and panic that goes on. But secondarily, I think farm ground is the only ground that's going to do well the next few years. Residential real estate, commercial real estate are both cratering. As I'm sure you know, in the Sacramento area, down especially down to Stockton, there's really no end in sight for the fall in real estate prices.
Circle of wood will have to be built.
I think that farmland is going to hold up in value, good productive farmland, versus residential McMansions are just going to keep falling and falling and falling.
Well, it's listed. Lovely. It's listed on your bio here that you live somewhere west of the Rockies. Why the mystery?
I try to be very quiet about where we live.
How come?
Because of the nature of my blog, I just.
What's the nature of your blog that would make you need to be?
I talk about being prepared for an absolute worst case scenario. And a worst case scenario, I don't want 200 families showing up, camped out in tents and yurts and teepees in my front yard.
What's a yurt?
Just let it go. A tent-like dwelling.
Yes.
Now, haven't you been... James Wesley Rawls is online. He's the editor of survivalblog.com. How long have you been into the survivalist thing? Quite a while, right?
Oh, quite a while. I grew up in Livermore, California. And
I don't think a survivalist had anybody.
Yeah, really, because it's one of the homes of the nuclear bomb. So I grew up with the whole bomb shelter mentality, and it never really wore off. I've always been into preparedness, and I just think it's wise and prudent to be prepared.
Well, do you just change what you're prepared for with the story of the day? I mean, were you prepared for Y2K, and then when nothing happened, you were prepared for... I don't know what, and now
Al Qaeda,
and now you're prepared for financial collapse because that's the big thing.
Well, it, to an extent, I think that the same sort of preparedness applies across the board, whether it's a magnitude 9 earthquake, or whether it's some mountain in the western United States goes Mount St. Helens, or whether it's a economic meltdown. The same kind of preparedness applies in terms of, you know, food storage, sprouting, having your own fuel storage, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It applies across the board.
You're a self-reliance guy like we are. You just take it, a good deal farther than most do. I've got an irrelevant question, but I can't get it out of my head. Here on your bio and on your book and everything, you list your name as James Wesley, Rawls. What's that all about?
That's a common law thing. That's to distinguish between my Christian name, which is my
call on your motorcycle a hotshot friend.
The kind of girls he offers me I can't resist. But I'm lonely when I'm with him. There was only one. That blonde.
Peggy, whatever her name was?
Yeah, that's right. Peggy, whatever her name was.
If we could only remember her name.
Johns. It was Johns.
Johns. 340 Allen Street.
The halfway house doesn't know where he is. The outpatient desk hasn't seen him. And you're his doctor. And you don't know where the fuck he is, huh? That makes it kind of unanimous, doesn't it? So no one knows where he is, right?
Look, for what it's worth, I'm sorry.
Sorry? You lose a dangerously psychotic patient from a secret experimental drug program, and all you can say is, I'm sorry? Did you check his job?
Yeah, he left there 2 weeks ago. You know, I think we're making altogether too big a thing out of this.
Like
the man is simply not dangerous.
You're a bigger schmuck than I thought you were.
I don't blame you.
I want him back. Now, if you value your job, you will get him back in this hospital before things get out of hand.
I'm a very lonely man.
Now, am I making myself perfectly clear to you? Do you get it?
You're a very lonely man. And I'm a very lonely woman. You see, my husband left me.
Get off your
Hello.
Ass and find him.
I'm sorry. You're sorry. Hey, I wish I could undo all that I've done to you. Please don't even say that. Peggy, from one lonely person to another, I'd like to be your friend. I'd like to make up for everything that I've done to you. That would be very hard to do, Mr. Harvey. You see, I just don't like your style. Any man that needs women the way you need women. You mean the parties? Parties. I'm sick of them. I know, I'm just beginning to realize that. Well, that's something anyway. And I realize that my whole relationship with women is sick. That's why I need a relationship that's different. You see, I don't really want to be the way I am. Help me change. Say you will.
Get him out of my mouth.
What do you want to do with him?
I'm so confused. I have this terrible hangover headache. I can't even think straight now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to push you so hard. Look, promise me that you'll come to my place tomorrow afternoon.
Take a drink.
To continue our discussion. It means a great deal to me. What time?
I didn't mean it.
6. Would that be all right? Sure. Under one condition.
For decades, the American
ideal. You will not have your entourage hovering over us while we talk.
The more curved,
that's the way it'll be.
The more voluptuous, the better.
Okay. Thank you.
And here in Los Angeles, along Hollywood Boulevard, is the national headquarters of that famous American institution, Fredericks of Hollywood, which for some 30 years has helped the American woman and housewife strive for the seductive look with the most blatant of sex pot paraphernalia. In its stores throughout the United States,
Walter
inspire and show the Walter, ladies how to become and how to present.
Walter, you want to suck my
self in
what?
And out of the bedroom.
Relax, Walter.
I just wanted to let you know that Carol has a new English teacher.
Yeah, what happened to the old one?
Well, she couldn't take all that bullshit those smart-ass children handed out to her. She's going to have a meeting for the parents.
When's that?
Tomorrow night.
I don't know if I can make it, Jan. We're taking inventory at the store tomorrow.
Walter, that's why you're the boss, so that you can take off when you have to. I mean, we are highly respected members of the PTA, and we're supposed to give our growing children all the support we can. Of course, nobody would ever know that we hate each other.
Hey, that's not nice. I know you're looking pretty good for a broad who's close to 40.
You really like to zing me, don't you?
Come on, let's go to bed.
Walter, I have my period.
You what?
Well, I have a headache. Take your pick.
Look, Jan, I work hard at the store all day, and when I get home, I want to get laid.
It must be a full moon tonight.
You know, you've really taken care of yourself after 16 years. Having the kid didn't make any difference at all. You're as beautiful as the day I met you.
Go to bed, Walter.
Not without you, baby.
Come on. Oh, Walter, not tonight. I have the headache.
She can wake the kid.
Oh, are you kidding? She's already listening and probably masturbating in the bathroom. Walter.
Come on.
Walter, I don't feel sexy tonight.
Oh, it's no secret you English broads can't get enough.
Oh, you son of a...
You love it when I get rough with you, don't you?
Walter, I'm warning you.
It really turns you on, don't you?
Off healthcare, fraud.
Wait a minute, Jan, tell me.
Stop it, Walter, stop it. Stop it.
Like it rough, huh? You like to play with the kid?
This was in July 2007. You were still working for Sigma? I was. I went home to visit relatives, and I picked up the local newspaper, and I saw that a healthcare expedition was being held a few miles up the road in Wise, Virginia. And I was intrigued.
So you drove there?
I did. I borrowed my dad's car and drove up 50 miles up the road to Wise, Virginia. It was being held at the Wise County Fairground. I took my camera and took some pictures. It was a very cloudy, misty day. It was raining that day, and I walked through the fairground gates. And I didn't know what I just assumed that it would be, you know, like a health booth set up and people just getting their blood pressure checked and things like that. But what I saw were doctors who were set up to provide care in animal stalls. Or they'd erected tents to care for people. I mean, there was no privacy. In some cases, and I've got some pictures of people being treated on gurneys on rain-soaked pavement. And I saw people lined up. Standing in line or sitting in these long lines waiting to get care. People drove from South Carolina and Georgia and Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, all over the region because they knew that this was being done. A lot of them heard about it from word of mouth. There could have been people, and probably were people, that I had grown up with. They could have been people who grew up at the house down the road, in the house down the road from me. And that made it real. It was actually stunning. It's like being hit by lightning. It's almost, what country am I in? It just seemed to be a possibility that I was in the United States. It was like a lightning bolt.
People are going to say, how can Wendell Prowler sit here and say he was just finding out that there were a lot of Americans who didn't have adequate insurance and needed something? He'd been in the industry for a
while. My head is stuck! My head is stuck in the hole! Ah!
Ah, Miss Yes, the kamikaze is a chicken today. Turn your back on me. I'll give you some of your cut.
Oh, ごめん。